Hello, and welcome to Fall Pal, the geek show all about comic books and manga.
Yep.
Yes.
We're here today with me, Ben.
And me, Andrew.
And me, Rob. And we've got several things to go through, but first up, there's a lot of trailers.
Yes.
Yes.
Which we will
things.
Yeah, which we will get to in a bit. But let's get our usual Archie news out of the way. Archie has ended its Kickstarter.
Oh no.
What's happened to Archie? Well, you know that new Archie kind of thing that they were doing, the new Riverdale type stuff they were trying
like
to do.
Hipster Archie.
Yeah, kind of hipster Archie, you know, edgy and, you know, with new artwork and stuff like that. People didn't like it.
Really? What a surprise. Well, who could have seen that coming?
People did like it. People thought it was very cool style. They liked the idea. They didn't like the fact they were asking you to fund it, though.
No, that's what I mean. They didn't like the fact that it was on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
They liked the concept of it and New Riverdale and being updated and kind of fresh and stuff like that.
I didn't like the concept of it.
Really? Are you a traditional Archie fan?
No, I'm just... Why does Archie exist? Why? What is the point of Archie?
Because who else will cross over with everything else in the world?
Yes. You do realize there is Archie and Sharknado. There is Archie and Sharknado.
What?
There is Archie and Predator.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Archie and Predator and Archie and the Punisher, but Archie and Sharknado.
Yep, yeah. That's the thing.
I thought it was Archie and Jaws, but no, it's Sharknado.
Tell you what, Jaws is probably in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like, triple crossover, no one saw it coming.
Jaws is secretly the mastermind behind the Sharknado.
No, did you not know Jaws was in Deep Blue Sea? He was the one that got away, you know, the one that had all the human brain stuff put into his brain. Now he's like
Grodd. Kneel before Jaws.
Yep.
Their idea, but people were like, wait, you're a huge comic company. Why are you asking us to fund your comic for you?
Yeah, exactly. They can afford to fund it themselves. That's not what Kickstarter is for.
Yeah. It's like, but then you think about it, there's a lot of big name game developers going to Kickstarter. Double Fine have gone to Kickstarter.
Yeah, well, Double Fine, I wouldn't say are a big name game developer.
So they're still well known. So
they're well known amongst gamers.
The thing was, they managed to basically give a decent reason why they needed funding. They're like, we want to make a point and click adventure. And no one will give us funding to make a point-and-click adventure.
But that's what I mean. Double Fine as a company. Tim Schafer is well-known.
Yeah.
But Double Fine as a company, most people, if you went to the average guy on the street and said, name a video company, a video games company, they'd say Ubisoft, they'd say Sony, Microsoft.
So if you went to any random guy on the street, you probably said, who's Tim Schafer? They probably wouldn't know either.
Yeah. What I'm saying is...
They're still well-known in the circle.
Within the video game circle, they're well known, but the video game circle is sadly not that not as big as the casual game circle.
I think they're using Kickstarter for the right reason, which
yeah.
is
yeah.
Like, we can't.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Is that like that might have been true for Archie, but they didn't really set that out. They were just like, "Hey, here's an idea."
I mean, if Square Enix went to Kickstarter for Life is Strange, people would say, "What the hell are you doing?"
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just make the game yourselves. You can afford it.
But Double Fine going to Kickstarter for stuff like Broken Age?
Yeah.
You know, that's perfectly fine. That's acceptable. We understand why they've gone there.
That's the thing, because they say it out in a way that you're like, yes, I get why they need the funding. If Archie's had come out and gone, this is why we need the funding, but they don't have anything like that. They're just sort of like, here's the idea we want to do, kickstart it. And everyone's just like, no. You pay for that. We buy the comic. That's how you get the money. Not us giving you the money, then you give us the comic. Like, you're too big for this. And maybe if they had, like, if it was like, hey, this is a small project not being supported by the main company.
Yeah, then people might
then,
want to.
Yeah, play. It's like, this is one guy's passion project. Then, yes, I get that going to Kickstarter.
But no, this is like the big company-wide thing.
Yeah. So it's just like, you're already there to make the comics. That's all the reason for the business.
Yeah.
Don't ask us for the money to pay for it as well.
Yeah.
It's okay, because they've apologized for it. But it's one of those very corporate apologies where they never actually mentioned the word sorry.
Yeah,
it's kind of like one of the, okay, we understand that you have been offended through no fault of our own, so we're going to cancel this type thing.
Yeah, they might as well go, there's things and stuff, so I guess we're not doing it because you're a bunch of whiny babies.
Yeah.
That is basically what a lot of the corporate apologies seem to be.
Yeah, it's your fault for being offended.
Yep.
Yeah. Shall we move on?
I think we should.
Before we start getting angry. Yeah, let's move on. Yeah. Right. New Mutants. Right. Does anybody remember the New Mutants?
Of course. They were my favorite X-Men characters. Like, Cannonball.
No. Cannonball.
Wolf
and
Lady Woman.
And Mirage and Wolfsbane and Warlock and Magic.
You're just saying this because you have the list of them in front of
you. Just to go through the list of them. You had Warlock, Mirage, Karma, Magic, Wolfsbane, Magma, Cypher, Cannonball, and Sunspot. And they made up the New Mutants, or the alternative X-Men. Basically, they were like the 90210 of the X-Men at the time.
I can remember two of these people.
Yeah, which, to be fair, now in the comics, Magic is kind of awesome, because like, she's a crazy witch lady.
Yeah.
But original Magic is just kind of... And Cypher.
No, she's there. Hang on. Wasn't original Magic Thingy's sister?
Yeah, she's Colossus's sister.
Yeah, Colossus is her sister. And didn't she die?
Yeah, she died, but then she like went to limbo and became a crazy demon thing, and then she came back and was awesome.
As
because
you do.
Comics.
Yep.
Comics. This is this is why we read comics, because we don't understand them. And we continue reading them in the hopes of actually understanding what the hell is going on.
No, surely we all read comics for Cypher and his amazing ability to speak languages.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
He was the best New Mutant.
Not Wolfsbane, who just got hairy and shed all over the place.
Yeah, it seems like this is the list of rejected X-Men. They're just like... Screw you guys, we'll make our own team with Blackjack and hookers.
What, you mean like X-Factor?
Yes. No, X-Factor actually seemed like they could go do something.
I still don't understand how Captain Britain went from being the defender of Britain to being a mutant when his powers historically had nothing to do with mutation.
He drank radioactive tea and got all the powers of a Briton. Is that his origin story?
All the powers of a Briton and...
super politely complaining about things.
I can queue here for over an hour!
Yes!
Sorry, I don't know Captain Britain.
Complaining. Don't forget the power to complain.
Oh yeah, the moan like nobody's business. And
the ability to have a strange affinity with Cockneys.
Can speak in languages no one understands. Not even Cypher can get Cockney rhyme.
Never mind Cockney rhyming slang. Glaswegian.
Anyway, was there a point when we were talking about this?
Yes, New Mutants. Fox have got... Oh, what's his face? Fox have basically got Josh Boone. They've talked him into directing the New Mutants. He's working on a couple of other things at the moment. But Josh Boone is going to be co-writing and directing The New Mutants, which will expand the X-Men cinematic universe. Boone's currently working on an Anne Rice vampire film for Universal, and The Stand. And he's going to work on The Stand after that, and then he's going to do The New Mutants.
He's got a very full plate there.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not exactly sure that The New Mutants is something... that is worth putting onto the silver screen.
Well, yeah, because it's like it's the X-Men, but with characters no one cares about.
Yeah. And at least the X-Men tried to, you know, they tried to do something.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was, you know, The Last Stand, at least they had some kind of spectacle about it. I don't know what kind of spectacle you'd get with the New Mutants.
Cypher, quick, tell us what he's saying. Okay, no one cared. Quick, malt. I don't know. They just...
Sunspot, we need light. I can't give you light. I'm a sunspot.
It's... here's the thing, if there's been something establishing this team, some sort of interest, it's like Agent Carter's doing well.
Yeah.
It's just been confirmed for its second series.
Yeah.
And that's a character that if Marvel just went, we're doing Agent Carter. She's a woman who worked with Captain America. I know you never saw her, but she's a person. Watch it. Probably would not have as much interest as the fact that she was in Captain America.
Yeah, they've already developed the character.
Because they made an interesting character. They showed her and they're like, hey, do you want to see more? Here's a TV show about her. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was mostly made because Coulson got popular.
Yeah, because everyone loves Coulson.
I think I know what this is going to be. I think I can guess. And if it works out like that, then I am going to shoot everybody involved before I kill myself. Right, the New Mutants. Do you remember the early issues of the New Mutants from like the early 80s, 1982 it started? And it was all about
yes,
young...
I am that old.
It was all about young mutants discovering their powers, right? Discovering themselves, discovering their powers, everything like that. This is basically...
I don't like where this is going.
I reckon this is going to be like the mutated version of High School Musical.
Oh, what that made me think of. What if he's the mutant version of Skins?
No, I think it's going to be
that would be amazing.
Yeah, if it was Skins, fine. But if it's High School Musical, which, it being Hollywood, I think it's more likely to be.
Yeah.
Imagine, look at me, I can fly, I have sun powers.
That Fox, if you're listening, that is why it shouldn't happen.
Exactly.
So, mutant Skins would be amazing. Just like, hey, we're dealing with all this stuff, and now I light up.
I see, when you say it like that, I'm thinking Skins.
Yeah,
that,
that's just normal Skins.
Yeah.
You know, light up. No, it's not going to be like Sky High.
Yeah, Rob,
we just had
Rob,
a message
Rob
in saying
points.
It's going to be like Sky High. It's not going to be like Sky High. We're
Sky
pretty
High
sure
is amazing.
This.
It is. So
now I just want Sky High 2.
Yeah, Sky High 2. Do that instead of New Mutants.
We know it's not going to be like that. We know they're going to try and make it all dramatic and serious because the X-Men was all dramatic and serious.
Which I think
you just
is exactly
said
why
about
it needs to be a comedy
High School
instead.
Musical, and that is not edgy or anything.
How dare
no, High School Musical is like
the edgiest
movie ever. They have singing basketballers, man.
So do the Harlem Globetrotters.
Anyway, staying with the movie news, we've actually seen pictures now of Crossbones from Captain America Civil War, and damn does he look interesting.
Yeah, he actually looks really cool, which is confusing because he's supposed to look awful, so I can rant about how awful he looks and then he'll be fine in the film. That's how it works, Marvel. He's not supposed to look cool right from the go.
Yeah, I mean, he looks totally badass.
Yeah, the thing that surprised me about this is like every leak I've seen so far of other movies has made me go, oh, this is going to be terrible. You're like, you see the suits for Suicide Squad, I'm like, meh. Then I see this, I'm like, oh, Marvel are doing things right. This looks really cool.
Yeah.
He's got, like, weird robotic knuckle duster things. And
they actually... The thing is, when you see them in the picture, they actually look like they'd hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not want to get punched in the face by that.
And his mask as well, his mask helmet type thing really looks the part.
Yeah, he looks like an utter badass.
Yeah.
And just, like, even the way he's walking, like, just this crazy sort of swagger thing going on.
I mean, if he was walking down the street... You'd get out the way.
But first you go, wow, that's an incredibly badass costume. And now I must run.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I kind
of... I can either stand here and admire it and die or run.
I do have to stress one thing. He does look like a psychotic paintballer.
That is exactly how you want him to look, though.
Exactly.
I kind of hope that's how he's introduced now.
They say he's never missed a shot. In the paintball arena.
Yes.
Deadshot versus Crossbones paintball
he
battle.
He bought
of
one
death.
Set of paintballs and didn't need to buy a second.
No, he bought one paintball and took out five people with it. He's like the A team of paintballing. Only totally nuts.
So he looks very cool and he makes me excited for Civil War. Like, still not 100% sure how they're going to do the story for it, but at least the characters are looking the part. Like, they also released images of Falcon's design, looking very Falcon patriotic.
Looks, I like that he's got some more colour in the costume now.
Yeah, he was sort of brown in the previous one.
Yeah, it was like a grey...
Yeah, he was just like, gunmetal wings. Like, no, you're meant to be bright and colourful. Red, white, and blue. You're the next Captain America.
To be fair, I'm glad they didn't introduce the very original costume he had, which is just green, just straps down his stomach.
Yeah.
I feel like that probably wouldn't have worked too well.
Yeah.
It was green and orange.
So the thing that I'm interested in is Falcon and Bucky Barnes in the comics at some point have replaced Captain America. Is Civil War just going to be the fight between the two who gets to be the next Captain America?
Sorry, I just got this, you know, kiddie fight. I'm going to be captain. I got the shield.
Give me the shield, Bucky. It's my turn.
Yeah, just a tug of war with the shield.
Steve said I could use it.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
And that is the whole of Civil War.
In a nutshell.
Yep.
Does that make Crossbones like the school bully?
No, Crossbones is the babysitter.
Oh, God, yes.
Guys, I'm only getting paid £2 an hour. Will you calm the hell down?
It's just the knuckle dusters. Come on, kids. It's bedtime.
If you can't play nice, neither of you getting the shield. Put it on top of the fridge.
You can play nice. My foot's coming down. You got to play nice before the foot comes down. Right, the foot is down. The foot has spoken. Or better yet, Crossbones doing the whole countdown one bit, going, I'm going to count to three. One. And going, no, it's my shield. One, two.
Two and a half.
Yes. Okay, right. Leaving Crossbones to one side, let's talk about something completely different. I think we should talk about Supergirl.
Okay.
Yeah,
trailer for the Supergirl TV series is out. What do you guys think?
I don't know how... But see, I didn't like it, but I feel like maybe I didn't like it because I'm quite clearly not the target audience.
See, I thought it was brilliant because I'm not the target audience. The trailer came out and it seems very female-focused. It's... got sort of a Sex and the City vibe going where I work at this thing and I'm just the secretary, but and by night I am Supergirl who goes out and saves the world and I've got my gay best friend who's not gay. I don't know.
What a twist.
It's a load of the girl-focused show tropes with but Supergirl in it.
It does look like a really cliched girls show, though.
Yeah.
See, and I'm not sure if I don't like it because it's so cliched or just because I don't like that kind of thing.
See, what I'm hoping is... Have you read any of the Supergirl comics?
I think I've read bits and pieces.
Because, the ones I've read were sort of a slice of life plus... Supergirling, and it looks like they're going down that sort of route, and it could work well. And I'm always applauding comic companies for trying to broaden the horizon of their audience. And they've done, just from this trailer, I can tell they're trying to mitigate a lot of the feelings that people have that Supergirl is just a female version of Superman. Like, she's just there because she's pretty. They did the whole thing about, this is why you should respect girl.
Yeah.
It's like, I am a girl, and I am your boss, and I am badass and sexy, and that is why she is Supergirl, and Supergirl is not demeaning.
But see, that just felt really on the nose, though.
It was a bit, but it's still trying to establish a bit more respect for the character.
Yeah, but I mean... It's still so very, very Ugly Betty.
And that's not a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying Ugly Betty is a bad show, because I actually quite like Ugly Betty. Right? I like the sentiment of Ugly Betty. I like the fact that it's trying to show that in a world full of vapid, shallow people, she's basically the only real person.
Is that, they are aiming this at a female demographic, and that's not bad. If you want to watch a manly show where superheroes do manly things, go watch Flash, go watch Arrow, go watch Daredevil.
I am not disagreeing with that. What I'm saying is, my biggest concern with the Supergirl TV series has always been it's going to do something much like the 1984 movie did, right? And that has always been my only concern, that it's going to go off the rails and basically become something that it was never meant to be. Supergirl is a great property that DC and who is it who's doing the TV series?
CBS, I think.
No, that DC and CBS have to work with. It's a great property for them to work with, right? But when the last time they tried turning it into a movie, it failed. It was catastrophically bad, and that's my only concern. If they use the Ugly Betty format, if whatever they use, whichever target audience it's targeted at, that I'm fine with. My only concern is that they don't ruin it. That's all I'm worried about.
Well, you're saying don't ruin it, but there's nothing there to ruin at the moment.
I mean, we've seen 6 minutes of a trailer, and you're right. Trailers can lie. You know, there's some bits of action, there's some bits of this, there's some bits of that. I'm not sure about the whole Jimmy Olsen bits, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bit that annoyed me the most, I think. Well, that's Jimmy Olsen is completely different to the comics.
I don't mind
that he's different to the comics. I honestly don't mind that he's different to the comics. I mean, he wasn't introduced in Man of Steel at all. So, and since this is tying itself to Man of Steel, I think it's okay that he is not the same as he is in the comics. I think that's fine.
It's in my mind, if you're going to make a character that's that different to the comic book version, why even bother calling him Jimmy Olsen?
Because...
Especially since they've already got another character in there who seems exactly like Jimmy Olsen, but isn't.
Yeah, I know. I got that as well. It's just, but then again, you got to ask how many people, you know, Supergirl's not one of DC's biggest properties. You know, it's not one of the most popular properties that DC has. In fact, in terms of DC properties, it's actually quite niche. You know, who, as Ben said, this is primarily aimed at women, at girls. And I'm fine with that. You're going to get all the hardcore comic book nerds crawling out the woodwork going, it's not the same as the comic going, Jimmy Olsen. You know, well, ignore them.
It tells you it might be creating its own thing, its own continuity, its own...
It might be going the way of Smallville.
Yeah.
It might be going...
Wasn't that done by CBS as well?
Yeah, I think so.
And that was cracking. I loved Smallville. I thought it was really good.
Smallville was terrible.
Later series were really good. The early ones weren't that good.
The early ones were finding their feet.
But I liked Smallville. I thought it was decent. It wasn't spectacular in any way, but it made Superman more interesting than anything has ever done to me.
I've watched some of the later series and I got to say, why didn't he become Superman sooner? This series seemed like he was running around basically being Superman, but saying, no, he's not Superman.
He's the red and blue blur.
Yes. Yep. Okay, shall we move on to a new trailer? And this one is for Lucifer.
Yes.
I like that one a lot more than Supergirl.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, this one seems to be less targeted towards women, but I still think it has quite a good appeal to girls. Yeah.
Which is, I would like to point out, I don't have a problem with Supergirl being targeted towards women.
You just have a problem with women.
Yes, I'm a massive misogynist.
That's Lucifer, it's new show being made by Fox, is it?
Yes, yeah, Fox have optioned the first series already and started production. I've got to say, I've been looking forward to Lucifer for a while, since we first heard of it. Lucifer is one of my favourite graphic novel series of all time. It's a spin-off from Sandman, and it is superb. Lucifer basically quits being the devil and goes to run a bar in L.A.
So this show
is just a great premise for a book.
This show seems less about running a bar, more going to Earth, quitting being the devil, still coming to Earth, and becoming a agent, really, a A detective.
Thing is, what I like about what they've done with it is it does kind of tie in with the events of the graphic novels.
Yeah.
You know, Lucifer is told that he is required to go back to hell, and basically he doesn't want to go back to hell because he's enjoying his life up on Earth.
Because I mean, who would choose to be the devil?
You know, he's got skills as a lounge singer. You know, he can play the piano. Women swoon at him, and you know, he's like, well, why the hell would I want to go back down there where it's all fire and brimstone and, you know, people screaming?
Why the hell would he want to go back?
Exactly, you know.
So, their casting's amazing for this.
Oh, God, yeah.
Lucifer, he's very charming and got all that sort of the demeanor for him, the cockiness, the just...
I think it's interesting, though, because I've seen the guy who plays him. He does quite a lot of sort of English sitcom-y type stuff.
Yeah.
And he's usually quite, like, goofy and clumsy and those kind of things. So it's interesting to see him as like more like a suave.
Tom Ellis.
Yeah, Tom Ellis.
Yeah, Tom Ellis. But yeah, he does have that swagger, doesn't he? He's kind of
He really does. I'm surprised like how well he seems to be pulling it off.
Yes. After he's with a girl who gets killed in a drive-by shooting,
yeah,
he's like, "Yo, I need to solve this crime."
Why were they taking pot shots at her, or was it at me? He's suspicious of everybody. He is the devil, after all.
Yeah.
And then an angel just randomly shows up and says, "You're supposed to go back to hell now." He's like, "No."
Screw you guys. I'm staying here.
Let me check my schedule. Somewhere between the 7th of Never and... I forgot the other bit.
But now I can just see Lucifer like with... Baby Bucky and Falcon just go, "I don't want to go back to hell."
Is that baby Lucifer?
Yes.
with his apocalypse rattle.
Gonna have to get Bones guy to come in and babysit him as well.
Crossbones,
that's it.
Yeah, I don't think Bucky and I don't think Winter Soldier and Falcon would be able to stand up to him. It'd be his shield.
he looks interesting. It's got a good comedy element to it, and it looks like it'd be interesting. I just hope it doesn't go stale. I can see one of those shows like gimmick gets sort of boring fast.
Yeah.
So I just need to see how it's written, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's all about how they nail the specifics, because, I mean, after all, the devil's in the details.
I hope to God it's not just full of puns like that, because it would be so easy to just make an entire show that is just based around making puns about
that was a hell of a good time.
Yep.
But no, it doesn't look like it's going to go down that route,
but we haven't seen an episode yet, so it might. Actually, I want him to get a psychic who's just always doing that, and he's just like constantly going, "Whoa, you shut the hell up."
So basically me, I should just be his sidekick.
Yes. Go pitch it to them. I'm pretty sure it's not too late to film the entire series again.
Right, okay, final trailer that has dropped is for Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, this is a spin-off of The Flash and Arrow.
Yep.
That's right, featuring characters from both series.
Yeah, it's got Captain Cold and Heatwave, Atom,
and White Canary.
White Canary, actually.
Thanks a lot, trailer, for spoiling the fact that she's going to come back to life.
Yeah. So White Canary, Atom, Captain Cold, Heatwave. Oh, and Firestorm. And Firestorm confuses me, right? Because they're saying that, Randall Savage is like... Vandal Savage, I got a bit confused, sorry.
Randall Savage.
I was playing a game called Randall's Monday, so I got a bit confused. Vandal Savage, he's an immortal guy, he's got a massive army, he's going to take over the world, and yeah, they have to travel through time, thanks to the abilities of Rip Hunter, who is a time-traveling cop. Not like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Which I think you've just stumbled on an idea that would make it 1,000 times better.
Yeah. And they have to travel to different periods of history with bad CGI robot feet and, you know, take out Vandal Savage's armies. And they have Firestorm in there. who is pretty much second only to Captain Atom in terms of power. In fact, I think the two of them are about equal in terms of power, because where Captain Atom is kind of all nuclear, Firestorm is also all nuclear because he is the nuclear man. He's basically a sun in a suit. That is Firestorm.
Pretty much.
So basically, you have the armies of Vandal Savage, and you've got a guy with a bow and arrow, and a guy who is basically the sun.
But I think in the show, they've kind of reduced his powers down a bit, so he's more just like a flying flamethrower type dude.
He's basically the Human Torch in that Arrow.
How did they get around the fire clothes thing? Because I see him flying about, I'm like, those clothes look compostable.
Yeah.
But I think he points the fire away from himself or whatever.
Yeah, but it's fire. There's bits fly off all over the place.
So, they basically team up of mismatched people who, like, according to Future Man, they become legends. And
I'm confused. If you've got one fire guy on the team, do you need two?
Heatwave is going to be a bit redundant.
Yeah, it's looking like Heatwave, like, sorry, mate, you've got a fire gun. You've got a flamethrower. Anyone
say that, in a lot of the stuff in the trailer, you didn't really see Heatwave much, so maybe he gets killed off.
No, he is the red-shirted security guy, isn't he? We know he's the red-shirted security guy.
So, I like Captain Cold's getting a moment. He's the most, like, overlooked of the DC Ice villains.
The thing is, I can't look at the two of them. I can't look at him and Heatwave without thinking I'm watching Prison Break all over again.
That would be a much more interesting Prison Break. Well, it suddenly pulls out the ice gun and the fire gun, and like
they wouldn't need a plan. They just walk out of the prison.
To be fair, there was one episode with the Flash where like they were being transported to a prison and they escaped from the back of a van, and you just knew the two of them were like, "Oh yeah, we're doing Prison Break again."
Yeah. Not only that, their sister is somehow involved.
Well, yeah, it's Captain Cold. She's like the one who breaks them out from the back of the van.
Yeah.
But Captain Cold is like, oh, well, looks like we've got to break from this prison. Wink.
Yeah. It's
He's doing the thing. He's doing the thing from the other thing.
Yeah. It's like, I really just kind of went, you did not do that. Who wrote this? I must punch them. Anyway,
that's cool, because like, Captain Cold is actually my favourite person from The Flash.
He is a great character, though, and he actually plays it well. You know, don't get me wrong, because Captain Cold has a degree of intelligence about him.
Yeah.
You know, he does have a degree of intelligence about him. But the one thing that I didn't like was they made him a bit too callous. Captain Cold has a heart. He doesn't kill people, per se, until recently.
Yeah, well, I hope that's going to be kind of the journey he's going to go on. Where he's going to realize, like, actually, I'm not this bad guy. I want to be a bit more heroic. Because it would be kind of like what they did with Arrow, where, like, he realizes, no, I can just not kill people, so why don't I not kill people?
So one thing I thought of watching this trailer was they show Captain Atom shrinking and stuff. I'm just like, I watched the Ant-Man trailer recently. And the effects in that are looking a lot better than in this.
Which I think that's kind of unfair, because Ant-Man is a massive budget film and this is a TV series.
I know, but it's just, you don't want to draw those comparisons, but they dedicate a huge section of, like, the end, it all goes quiet, like, we're going to show off this cool power. Well, yeah, Here's me showing off this cool power. This cool power does not look as cool power. It's the cool power that's being shown the same way in a different trailer.
To be fair, I think it's more for the fans, though, because a lot of people have complained that in Arrow, Atom doesn't shrink, and a lot of people have got annoyed at that.
So I see. So
okay,
he is...
here we go. He is going to shrink now. There. Are you happy, you whiny so-and-sos?
That makes sense, then. So you see the correlation that...
But it is also deliberately going for it. Look, we're just like Marvel, love us more.
Yes. Going to run through the... we got this bit of news, but they did talk about this on Cinema Eclectica last week, so I'm just going to mention it here. Ava DuVernay, the director of the movie Selma, Marvel are looking at her to direct one of their movies. Now, it could be Captain Marvel, or it could be Black Panther.
could be Captain America Civil War, and he's completely different to the comics.
See, if
Captain America's civil rights movie.
Yeah, I was about to say, is it going to be Captain America's civil rights? Is it going to have, like, superheroes with protest boards going, yeah!
I'd watch that movie. I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I've not actually seen a proper superhero protest. Except for, like, Fathers for Justice.
And they... really... In X-Men 3, there's some proper protests, but then it turns into blah action blah.
Yeah.
We've been mentioning X-Men 3 far too much on this show for my liking.
It's not that good.
Yeah, I've been trying to wipe it from my memory, but it just seems to be entailing this one.
Yep.
It's like a horrific stain that you just can't wash out.
Yep. Final bit of news before we move into some comics.
So much potential, it was just...
Yeah, I know. Anyway, final bit of news before I move into some comics. Dark Horse have added 4 new manga series to their roster of manga. They've added Gigantomachia, Rig Veda, which is based on the Hindu myth, also known as Rig Veda. It's actually quite interesting. And it's a Clamp series, which means Bishonen Everywhere.
Yep.
Danganronpa. And I Am a Hero, which is very disturbing, slightly psychotic, because the guy is not a hero, but thinks he is just because his life sucks.
Well, I guess if they're picking up Danganronpa, then maybe they're just going through a disturbing point of time.
Yeah.
It's like, we want all the weird, twisted stuff.
It's like,
there's some nice shows to port over.
Yeah, and just to give you a brief idea, I Am a Hero is the saga of Hideo Suzuki, a struggling, mentally unstable manga artist who isn't sure he can believe what he sees one night. A pedestrian, leg twisted and neck broken by an auto collision, gets up and keeps on walking. You know, it might snap the sanity of most people, but when the dead are beginning to rise all over Tokyo, there are 2 things that might follow even a crazy man like Hideo to survive. Sorry, that might allow even a crazy person like Hideo to survive. But the question that is always there is, hang on, is he just imagining this?
Yeah, he sees something that would break a man's sanity if he weren't already completely insane.
Yeah. So did he imagine it or not? Is he a hero or not?
Has this got anything to do with the game Not a Hero?
No.
No, oh, okay.
So I assume, is he going to, like, go around stopping the zombie apocalypse? Like, possibly just beating random people to death?
Ah, a child zombie! Kick. My child!
No, it's an adorable puppy. It must be the harbinger of the apocalypse. Kick.
So he's just there punching old ladies and like, ah, these old demon hags.
Just run, everyone. I will keep you safe from this hag.
See, what I want is 2 series. One way he's actually fighting zombies, and one way you just see the world as normal people and him just beating up on people.
Yeah. Right, shall we get into some comics?
Sure.
Yeah, right. Let's.
Who wants to start us off?
I can start us off if you want.
Sure. Found it.
Okay, so first up, I have got Secret Wars issue 2.
Ooh.
By Jonathan Hickman with art by Isad Ribic. So Secret Wars first issue basically ended with the kind of normal Marvel universe and the Ultimate Marvel universe crashing into each other, and that was it, the end. Everything's dead.
Okay.
So this is just a bunch of white pages.
What?
Yeah, I'm joking, it's not.
They're taking a real, like, risky edge with this. I'm liking where they're going.
Yeah, yeah. See, just a completely blank
series. I was about to say, my God, that's bold.
But no. What it is, okay, this issue, basically, Doctor Doom has rebuilt the universe because he's Doctor Doom.
That's what he does.
Did he make it out of Lego or something like that?
You say that, but that's basically the general idea, is he's taken, like, all the different broken bits of all the other universes and just, like, mushed them together into one planet. And it's really interesting because it's got a very Game of Thrones type vibe in that, like, everything's broken off into different separate areas and each is ruled by, like, a baron. So you've got stuff like Higher Avalon, which is, like, where all the Captain Britain people live. And then you've got Arcadia, which is, like, if I say that, basically it comes with, like, a map at the back of it.
Oh, so you know where everyone is.
Yeah, yeah, which is just like the kind of thing I love. So like you've got various things like a spider island.
I wonder who lives there.
Yes, who Craven knows? The Hunter. And of course, like basically, apparently Manhattan is still there, which is basically like the non-Marvel universe and the Ultimate Marvel universe. Which that's going to be interesting to see how that plans
out. So they are living in Manhattan?
Well, I assume not all of them, but like...
But the people who are based in Manhattan are still in Manhattan.
Yeah, but basically that was where the big battle last issue between like the Ultimates and the Avengers was happening.
Sorry, it's just, I don't know why, but because Doctor Doom has basically remade the universe, but in the form of a big world, you know, with different people in different places. For some reason, when you said, you know, the Marvels and the Ultimates are all in Manhattan... I just started thinking of what kind of entertainment are they watching? Is it like a superhero version of Friends and stuff like that? I don't know.
Well, then you've ruined the event.
Yes.
But it's kind of cool because this issue just kind of like takes you through various things. So it's more just like setting up Battleworld, like showing you all like various different places, like just how the bounds are apparently quite a lot of friction between them.
I'm hoping it goes more like... aggressive as it goes on, because they've got a lot of this, so many different universes with so many different thought processes. There's got to be some stuff going on.
Oh yeah, well, it's an event. It's not just going to be everyone sits around and talks for a bit and everything's nice and happy.
There has been events in the past that have sort of turned to that, though. Like, it's a bit of a scuffle and then everyone goes, oh no, we're happy with it how it is now.
Yeah.
Just because they couldn't think of a decent ending.
No, but no, I get the feeling like at some point the proverbial is going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
But cool. Also, my favourite bit is we're introduced to Dr. Doom's police force, which is the Thor Corps. It's just like 100 different versions of Thor who just go around policing stuff.
Is one of them Beta Ray Bill?
One of them is Beta Ray Bill.
Yes.
Well, Beta Ray Bill is on the cover.
So yeah, he's bound to be in it.
He's probably one of the Thor Corps.
You'd be a bit disappointed if he was on the cover and he was just like wasn't in it. It's like, oh yeah, we thought we'd add him on the cover because we didn't bother putting him.
They've got an Egyptian Thor on the cover.
They've got an Egyptian Thor on
the cover, and he's holding an ang as if it was a hammer.
Because duh.
And isn't that Storm?
Yeah, yeah, it's like an alternate version of Storm who became Thor.
That's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hope that gets a spin-off.
Well, I know they are actually doing a tie-in called Thor.
Is that Legolas? Did Legolas make it? Oh, they got Throg on there as well?
Of course they've got Throg.
They've got Throg. But is that Legolas on the cover there? Looks like Legolas. Just looking at the hammer going, this is not an arrow.
how do I shoot this from my bow? But that's ridiculous because obviously Legolas knows how to use a hammer because he's better than you.
Yes, he's better than Mario. He's better than everybody. He's even better at being Mario than Mario.
Of course.
Super Legolas. Anyway.
Yep. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, basically, Secret Wars, awesome. Read it. It's cool.
Well, it's the big event. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Now with added Legolas.
So, tying into Secret Wars... have Last Days of Magneto,
ooh,
issue number 18. And this starts with Magneto and Lorna, like his daughter, having a good heart-to-heart, really getting out there, like talking about what matters, how they feel about each other, and all this sort of stuff as the world comes to an end. Because basically, the world's about to crash into each other.
Yeah, because this is set kind of before the end of the first issue of Secret Wars.
Yeah, so, like, everyone is panicking, everyone is dying, they're just having this heart-to-heart at the end. Because Magneto is planning to stop the world colliding, and it's going to kill him doing it. So he basically has a plan that he's going to get all the magnetic power of the entire world and reach the next planet, where he's going to take all the power of that world and use it to destroy it and save their planet. Yay!
Except no, he's not, because he's going to fail.
Yeah.
We already know that.
He also goes into his history with Namor, who is basically... Well, let me see if this jogs any memories for Eve. He's a guy who is king of Atlantis.
What an original concept.
He wears green scale mail.
So he's some sort of man who lives in the aqua realm.
Yeah. He is the Submariner. Yeah, he is basically Aquaman.
He really is.
And a very big-headed Aquaman. Magneto is like, hey, we should team up and we'll rule the land and the sea.
Oh, you want about Namor?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
So he's just,
I was getting confused. Why is Aquaman suddenly in...
Yeah, it's basically the same character, just with an ego.
Yeah. And he doesn't have a hook hand.
No, well, Aquaman only had that in, like, one version of him.
Yeah.
Which, why did not more versions of Aquaman have the hook hand? That was, like, the one interesting thing about Aquaman.
Well, didn't he...
Because he went a bit nuts after he got the hook hand, and that made him more interesting.
Well, he...
Yeah.
The hook hand was there because he... To save some fish, he fed them his hand.
I thought it was, like, to save his son, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was to say...
I just know the version where he got his hand eaten by fish.
Yeah, he got his hand... There's different versions, but...
I think that version, Ben, I was like, oh, no, my fish are hungry.
It was... wasn't it Manta who killed his son and also caused him to actually have to cut off his own hand? Because his son was basically... He was pulling his son out of a cave and then... Manta caused the entrance to collapse, and his hand was still there trying to pull his son out. And eventually, you know, he just, you know, his son died, and he couldn't get away,
yes,
so he cut off his own hand.
That was
and
Black
after,
Manta.
After he cut off his own hand, he went absolutely nuts.
I think that's more the loss of his son than the loss of his hand.
No, after he cut off his hand and the loss of his son, the whole cumulative thing, he went nuts and he killed Manta.
It's like the idea of, like, oh, I've lost my favourite hand. Your son's dead. I don't care. My hand was in there.
Now I only have my second favourite hand.
It basically explores their relationship a bit, like Namor learning to respect Magneto a bit at first, like, oh, I don't care about you and your land peoples. And basically expresses his plans to save the world, but if he can't, Magneto has to save it.
Yeah, Magneto is basically the fail-safe option.
Yeah.
But I really don't get that. Apparently, this is going to be like a 4-issue story arc thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I don't really see the point, because you know he's going to fail in the end, because he has to, because both Earths get destroyed.
Yeah, this could be an interesting story, but its timing's just... Ow. If this had happened before number two of... I've been released, but I'm guessing they would, like, we don't want to spoil what happens in Secret Wars. So yep. We'll come have this event happen afterwards.
So I think the main thing is they want to keep Magneto going while they're still doing the Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So otherwise they'd have to do that and then, like, basically cancel the series until afterwards.
Yep.
Yeah. So I find it cool. I always like emotional depth in characters in this.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been happy if just, like, the whole thing was just, like, him talking to his daughter.
Yeah. Like, that was the more interesting part, actually, was just him, like, doing his thing. It's just basically building up magnetism. So watching people react, like, just watching him be amazing.
Yep. Okay, I've got two confusing ones. I'm going to start off with the less confusing one, which is Jupiter's Choice, which is Mark Millar
Jupiter's
and...
Jupiter's Circle, isn't it?
Sorry, Jupiter's Circle, which is Mark Millar and Wilfredo Torres, which is the prequel to Jupiter's Legacy.
Which probably explains why it's a bit confusing, since neither of us have read Legacy.
No. It's not confusing because neither of us have read Legacy. Trust me. It's slightly confusing because it's very, very 1950s. Very 1950s.
Yes, it is.
And it's even got Hoover as the director of the FBI. No, the CIA. Or was it the FBI?
FBI. The one in the book. Check.
I can't remember. I think it's the FBI. Anyway. And there's a... It's at a time when... One of the main gripes I've got with this is... That I don't understand it. In fact, it's the only gripe.
FBI,
I've
he was the head of the FBI.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Jupiter's Circle. It introduces you to the parents of the characters in Jupiter's Legacy, and this is all about the parents of the characters in Jupiter's Legacy and what they went through during the 1950s when they were at their peak as heroes, especially their issues with homosexuality, which does play a big part in these two comics. Obviously, during that period, the whole idea of a gay couple or two men having relationships with each other, it was illegal. And this does touch upon that in a big way, because Hoover wants to know the identities of the heroes, and he's been looking for some kind of dirt on the heroes. And one of them, he has like three different personalities, and one of them is basically a homosexual guy who will probably end up destroying everything he cares about.
I think it's more like three different persons, in like more of a metaphorical sense.
Yeah, in a metaphorical sense. But anyway, they turn the tables on Hoover in issue two and have some naughty pictures of Hoover that they may or may not have concocted. We don't know. There may be photoshopping involved in them. We're not sure. Anyway, Jupiter's Circle, it's an interesting comic. The art style is very, very kind of basic, very, very reflective of the time period and comics of the time period as well, I should say. But it is...
It reminded me a lot of DC's... The New Frontier?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot like DC's New Frontier. But it's very similar to like early Silver Age comics as well, or late Golden Age comics.
Yeah, but I mean, done in that style that's like deliberately meant to reflect those earlier styles.
Yeah, very much so. So yeah, it's an interesting read, but I'm still not sure what the story's about.
Yeah, it does kind of assume you already know who all these characters are.
Yeah. Anyway... What's next?
Okay, next I've got issues 12 to 14 of Black Science.
This is your go-to thing, isn't it?
It is. It's my special book. I love Black Science. It's by Rick Remender with art by Matteo Scalera. And basically it's about a scientist who invents this thing called the pillar, which allows you to travel between different dimensions, kind of alternate realities.
Yeah.
But, of course, it goes a bit wrong. Basically, him, kind of some of his team, and his two children are now stuck, basically jumping through alternate realities, trying to find a way to get back home. So basically, that's kind of what most of the issues have been so far. And these three issues find them on a world that's like futuristic Romans. But they get there and find that like an alternate version of their institute exists, which also invented a version of the pillar. But when they went to an alternate universe, they accidentally brought back a terrible plague with them that's killed most of the population. And now, like, all the others are basically trying to kill them because they think, oh no, somehow they've come back to life. We must burn them before they spread the plague again.
Yes.
But it's also interesting because it kind of concludes kind of a long sort of plot point, is that they keep going to these worlds and finding alternate versions of the pillar in their institute. So now they've kind of realized that the pillar is deliberately targeting worlds where multiversal travel has been invented. And so it kind of gives them this dilemma of, okay, do we stick with the pillar, keep jumping through time and try and like find our own way back home? Or do we stay here, try and undo like all the bad things that alternate versions of us have done?
Okay. So is it like a kind of a, you know, do they have to... go through like a sequence of things and then jump through time or...
No, it's basically once they jump through, it's they're given a set amount of time before the next jump happens.
So it's a bit like Sliders then?
Yeah, it's more just about them trying to stay alive in these crazy alternate universes.
Yeah, so it's basically Sliders.
Yeah, it is a lot like Sliders.
No, it basically is Sliders. Yeah. Stay alive in this alternate universe, this alternate dimension, until the next portal opens. And
but
hopefully...
the alternate dimensions are kind of a lot crazier. It's like less like, and this is a world where Hitler is dead, and more like, this is a world where the dominant species are monkeys that have been possessed by evil gas giants.
Yeah, that's fine. Anything is possible in the multiverse. Anyway.
Except for saving Uncle Ben.
Yeah, except for saving Uncle Ben.
He's always dead.
Yeah, poor Uncle Ben.
In Spider-Verse, there was that one reality where Uncle Ben is the only living person in the world.
True, that is the one universe where he can survive.
Poor Uncle Ben.
It's not fun to be Uncle Ben.
No. Okay, Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier.
Yes, please explain to us what happens in this issue.
A new issue of Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier, has returned to my hands, and I am happy to say that at the end of it, Loki makes an appearance. But before then, I really don't know. There's like communion and cosmic awareness and something about tongues. And like, there's an old guy and Bucky Barnes. Yep. Is the old guy Bucky Barnes?
Yes, that's like Bucky Barnes from an alternate future. And yep. Then they both get high and some stuff happens.
And there's also some girl with a pterodactyl who jumps off a cliff. And stuff happens, and it's very, very artistic stuff. It's a very artistic comic. It's, the artwork is amazing. I mean, Ben, look, the artwork is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that is fantastic. That is...
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
But do I know what's going on? Hell no.
Yeah, the only thing I know, kind of an issue where it was more just about
the only thing I am certain about is what I read at the end of one of the previous Bucky Barnes comics, and that was Crossbones had crossed into this universe. Now I'm wondering, is it really Crossbones? Because Loki turns up at the end of this. So maybe Crossbones is actually Loki disguised as Crossbones.
Well, actually, they revealed that Crossbones is like also from an alternate future. Like, this Crossbones is basically Nick Fury's son. And he went crazy and has decided he's going to kill people.
So, yeah. Anyway, at the end of it, they say the next issue is Bucky shrugged and it's got a picture of Bucky holding up a very big rock-type, tennis ball-type, football-type, you know, zygote-type thing. I don't know what that is. Maybe some kind of planetoid. Anyway, but do I understand what the hell is going on with Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier? No. I don't think even the writers know what's going on. I honestly believe that... who was writing this?
Alice Scott.
Yeah, Alice Scott, whoever you are. I really want some of what you've been smoking or eating or drinking. So please send them over. We'll have a whale of a show.
It won't make any sense, but we'll have fun.
Yes. On the front, it says, kill a planet, save a universe. Kill a universe, save a multiverse. Faster, Bucky Barnes. Kill, kill, kill. So, obviously, quoting the title of that movie, Faster, Pussycat, Kill, Kill. I'm still confused. I'm so confused.
It's okay. Just look at the pretty art.
Just lie back and think of the Hoff. Anyway. Enough of that. Right, unfortunately, we are now at the end of the show. We have been Four Panel. I've been Rob.
I've been Ben.
And I've been Andrew.
Remember to check us out on Facebook. Just look for The Geek Show and hit us up on Twitter, TGS_The Geek Show.
Yes, you'll find all our shows on our Mixcloud channel, which can be accessed through Facebook as well.
Yep.
Because there is a tab on our Facebook page. So yes, we'll see you all next week. Take care, have fun, and read more comics.
Bye.
Bye.